But for a guy, that matches the most he scored in a Big Ten game this season. And it wasn't from the three-point line. He was able to get inside, take advantage of some mismatches, be aggressive, and score points. Kamari McGee continues to do torrid things from outside the arc, going 3 of 5 from outside. Those two, Gilmore and McGee, are revelations this season that have taken what people thought, man, this could be a good Wisconsin team, to an elite team. Like that, those are the pieces that make them. Tanjay being better than probably anybody guessed, but those bench players rounding out scoring and adding up to 19 points today in what was not a starring role either, but they still get you 19. That's enough to bury a team.
And that's the encouraging, and one of the many encouraging aspects of this team is the depth. And you can bring guys off the bench, and they can be defensive, you know, stoppers or, you know, that kind of role, but they can also score. And they're encouraged to shoot it when you're open. And we've talked about Xavier Amos. He gets 6 points tonight. Janicki didn't score tonight, but he's had games where he will knock down shots. That's huge as you continue through the month of February.
Definitely. And Wisconsin jumping out to a big lead also allowed Greg Gard to expand his bench just a little bit. You know, getting Amos in there for 13 minutes, Janicki in there for 12, allowing some of his heavy minute guys to sit. Klesman only playing 25. That's helpful this time of year when they've got bigger mountains to climb coming up. The other thing we haven't even discussed is 6 turnovers in this game.
Yeah.
And now they had 9 in the first half against Northwestern, and it was sloppy, and that was something that didn't sit well with them at halftime. Then they come out and they get 1 in the second half against Northwestern, and then 3 in each half today. You just give yourself so many more chances, and that's a tenet of Wisconsin basketball over the years, but something that we saw again today.
Points off turnovers, 18-7 in favor of Wisconsin. The Hoosiers guilty of 11 turnovers in this game. Another aspect that I know that will make Greg Gard feel really good is Indiana had with 9 offensive rebounds. Second chance points, 10-9 in favor of Wisconsin. And I say that because Indiana missed a lot of shots, but the Badgers were able to secure the defensive glass pretty well again here tonight.
And if you recall, most of those offensive rebounds came once this game was already a 15-20 point margin. Mm-hmm. So when Wisconsin made its run to build this lead that they never really relinquished, that was a 0. Indiana was getting no offensive rebounds and 0 second chance points. I don't think you can underscore the importance of both of those things.
Badgers win it tonight over Indiana, 76-64. When we continue, we'll take a look at the Nissan out-of-town scoreboard. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
I am so sorry I was late. I was at the retina specialist getting my first AMD treatment. I was worried that the injection would hurt, but it was much better than I expected.
I'm so glad you're getting your AMD treated. Did you go to the same retina specialist that I see for my diabetic retinopathy?
Yes. And I was already having blurred central vision. And the retina specialist told me that by treating it early, I had a better chance of saving and even improving my vision.
It's important that we see an expert for our retinal condition. A retina specialist also treated my son when his retina detached several years ago. The surgery saved his sight. When your vision is at risk from retinal disease, you need the expertise of a retina specialist. Retina specialists are highly trained physicians and surgeons who treat retinal conditions in adults and children, as well as severe eye trauma. If you experience blurred central vision, a curtain-like shadow in your vision, floaters, flashing lights, or wavy lines, see a retina specialist as soon as possible.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton, and I want to share with you the experience of Donna in Washington. She writes, I got injured about 5 years ago. I was let go when, because of the injury, I couldn't keep up with my schedule. I've tried to find other work, but I'm 68 now. No one wants to hire someone that old. This week is tough, though, because I had to get my tooth fixed. So I only have $10 in my checking account. But it will be okay. I at least have food because of this pantry. Millions of people face hunger. Some every day, just like Donna. The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
You got a couple tight games going on in the late window of the Big Ten Conference, so we'll keep tabs on that before we close out, then the second half of the season now that Wisconsin has won its first two games. And yes, you mentioned it a little earlier about, you know, there's still some pretty tough games ahead on the road. Iowa this Saturday, a week from Saturday at Purdue. There's still Michigan State on the road. But these guys, Patrick, when they're at their best, you feel like they can play with anybody, anywhere.
You do. Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, if you're looking at analytics and the kind of starting to, it's February, so I think we can start looking at postseason resume things. And this game goes down as a quad two win for Wisconsin in the net rankings. And that gives Wisconsin 11 of those. They've got six quad ones and five quad twos. That's almost as good as anybody in the country. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's only four teams that have more quad one and two wins than Wisconsin does. And those six quad one wins, I think there's only about five teams that have more than that. So I know Indiana on the outside in appearance, they 5-5 record in the league, and but these wins matter, and this league is so good that we shouldn't take for granted winning a game like this in the middle of the dog days of the season like this.
That's the thing, you know. We've always laugh at this time of year because I made that mistake with Bo his first year. I asked him about the dog days, and you get that look, you know, like, huh?
Dog? No, I've never had a dog.
So now that he's out playing golf, you know, I asked some other guys and said, yeah, it kind of is. But the more you can take care of your business during this tough stretch, then you at least you set yourself up to, you know, finish pretty high in the Big Ten Conference. So the Badgers are on a nice path. Long way to go, I get it. But they are if they're the dog days, they're fighting through it as Greg Gard makes his way over to us. 76-64, the Badgers beat Indiana tonight.
Yeah, and really important to get this one, too, because Wisconsin's in a stretch of four of five games away from home. So they've already won one of them. They won at Northwestern. Getting this one home win, really important because steeper mountains are ahead.
Yeah, as Coach Gard will join us here courtside. Yeah, we've got Greg now noticing, huh? What? He's a five-tool player, Greg.
Oh, wow. You know?
Had to dig deep into the bullpen to come up with this one.
You were like, you had some good company tonight.
I did. Well, Butch is suspended just because.
Oh, okay.
They actually work at a BTN game as we speak down at Evanston. And, Patrick graciously. He's undefeated, by the way.
He's a jack of all trades.
Yeah, he really is.
Put him on the sideline. Put him on the sideline. Put him on the court side.
Absolutely. And undefeated when the Badgers are undefeated when Patrick is working his game. So what pleased you the most about how your guys went about their business tonight?
I think the defensive start. I thought we really were dialed in defensively. We made life really hard for them to try to get the ball in the paint, which is, you know, they got two good players in Renew and Balo. And I thought we really set the tone early. You know, we made Goody have to move to get shots off for the most part in the first half. We let Mabako got one in the corner right from our bench. We got caught in the lane a little too long. And then obviously the obvious, the ball goes in. You know, everything looks fantastic. But the defensive end, I thought we were really connected. We were really playing off one another and covering for one another and helping each other and really active and aggressive and a really good start.
And it's part of the defensive end, but controlling the glass against this team in particular. So in that first half, allowed only three offensive rebounds, zero second chance points.
Right.
That's part of the equation.
Absolutely. That was, you know, we had to keep the ball out of the paint as much as possible. But when it does go in, are we where we're digging from, who we're digging off of, and then also when the shot goes up, it's 50-50 ball. We needed to have everybody on deck coming in and with hands and noses and faces and everything else to bring it all to the party.
We were struck because Indiana likes to play quickly. We were struck by the number of late shot clock situations they were in. It seemed like you guys made everything.
Yeah, I think we took away the main threats and we were able to, you know, cover and cover shooters and stay with shooters. And I thought our bigs did, our five specifically, did a really good job of shocking ball screens and not allowing the ball to get inside the paint and where we got caught in two-on-ones with Balo and the guard. So that was obviously a really good job by those guys to really keep that ball outside the three-point line and keep going east-west. And we did, a really good job on the backside of loading. We didn't get caught really with the alley for the roller to the rim. And like I said, I'll put all those things together and you have a pretty good performance.
The balance on offense struck us too, that nobody had a standout performance, but contributions all up and down the lineup, including off the bench, 25 bench points.
Right.
And I was curious to see how Gilly James would respond to the last 72 hours when people have been talking about
him
a lot.
BMOC.
Yeah, big man. That's right.
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he's mature, and I think that's the biggest thing with Gilly is just the maturity he has now and plays with and understands his role and embraces his role. And when the opportunities come for him to knock a three down, he's got confidence in it and not afraid to let her fly.
I always think of other things, too, beyond the scoring. Max Klesman has 6 assists. John Blackwell, I mean, he's 3 for 12, but he had 8 rebounds.
Yeah.
You know, he just
and
not
that was
afraid
part of the whole
there.
Defensive concept. Like, the bigs were going to be entangled with Renault and with Balo. Guards, you got to go clean up the mess at times, and John did that, especially down the stretch there as we were icing it away. We got him into long possessions, and Blackwell got a lot of those, last back 10 minutes of the game. Where he collected a lot of those defensive rebounds.
Sometimes when things are going, everything was almost perfect to start the game. They never got it to single digits after 3.5 minutes. Now, it'd be easy to maybe get your foot off the gas, and they would maybe 12. That was as close as they got. You guys, there was no big slippage there.
No,
was there?
No, it wasn't until right at the end. Mm. When they kept trying to add their main guys in, and I wanted to get to our bench, knowing we got bigger fish to fry. So, I thought, and it's hard when you come out banging threes like we did. I don't know what we made the first 6 or 7.
6 out of 7.
6 out of 7, something like that. It's hard. I mean, I know that's the crowd loves it and everything. They think they're all going to go in. And, definitely, eventually you come back to earth a little bit. But this team, moves the ball, shares the ball, and obviously can shoot it. And once we get rolling, we're a handful.
Protecting the home court. You guys are really good at that. I know the next two are on the road, but give yourself a little
time.
Are they?
I don't know. Well, I know we go to Iowa.
Yeah, Iowa's next, and then somebody after that. I think you have a little bit of time.
You ever come to a Badger Indiana game, like as a kid, and maybe in the field house or watch him play? Because have you ever seen Indiana win in this city? Because that's 21 straight home wins now. One of the more improbable streaks that I can think of.
I'm trying to think if I ever came and watched Indiana play back. I don't think I did, not when Knight was coaching. Now, the one I remember coming to watch Iowa, Wisconsin, or Raveling was coaching at Iowa at the time. But
think about that. They haven't won here since 1998.
The second game ever.
Most of my team was not alive.
Not even close.
Yeah, right? The second game ever at the Kohl Center.
Really?
In 1998. Yeah, your guys, none of them. Not even Tanjay.
No.
It was 1998.
Knight was not coaching then.
Knight was.
He was.
Yeah.
Here.
He was.
That was the infamous
That was in 2000. That was 2000 when Otto had to take care of business with one of their support staffers.
Those old dust up at the scores table.
That's right. Forgot that Otto's sneaky golden gloves. Good. Yeah. So, no. Go enjoy this one. Appreciate it.
We will.
All right. Thank you much.
All right. Thank you.
Right, congratulations. Badgers win it. Over Indiana tonight, 76-64. Our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Looking for a fan favorite at your tailgate? Pork has you covered. Not only is it nutritious and delicious, but pork's got that flavor that your family expects. Firing up the grill? Try chops, brats, and ribs. Making appetizers or finger foods? Add bacon, ground, or shredded pork. Visit WPPA.org for recipe inspiration and to learn where you can source local pork. Wisconsin Pork Association is proud to support the Badgers and our farmers all year round. And you should too. Brought to you by Wisconsin's Pig Farmers.
At U.S. Bank, when they say they're in it with you, they mean it. Not just for the good stuff, the grand openings and celebrations, although those are pretty great, but for all the hard work it took to get there, the fine-tuning of goals, the managing of cash and workflows and decision-making. They're in to help you through all of it. Because together they're proving day in and day out that there is nothing as powerful as the power of us. Visit usbank.com to get started today. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, copyright 2024, U.S. Bank.
It takes hard work to be the best in the game. Planning, commitment, resilience, sweat. That's why Old Dominion Freight Line, the number one national LTL carrier for quality, works hard to be the best in the game and is proud to support those striving to be the best in theirs. Old Dominion Freight Line, official freight carrier of Wisconsin Athletics, helping the world keep promises.
For 48 straight years, Ford F-Series have been the best-selling trucks in America. We got here by engineering breakthrough technology, redefining built Ford tough, and never settling for second best. But what's really made Ford F-Series the number one selling trucks in America is you. Ford F-Series, built Ford tough. based on 1977 to 2024 calendar year total sales.
Hear that? That's Jones All-Natural Sausage Cooking. It's almost ready to be enjoyed in your favorite breakfast sandwich or as a side with eggs. And that is Jones Dry-Aged Bacon with flavor you won't find anywhere else. You can really taste the difference our dry-aging process makes. I'm Philip Jones, and quality ingredients and attention to detail are how we've been making breakfast better since 1889. Try Jones, a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. And go Badgers!
When it comes to women's sports, there's no place like UW. Our women set the standard for elite performance, from the volleyball court to the hockey rink. Every set, spike, and score pushes the boundaries of what's possible. UW Health mirrors this dedication to greatness. Our extraordinary team of doctors combines revolutionary research with compassionate care, setting the benchmark for healthcare across the country. So for the best care and the best athletics, it's easy. UW all the way. UW Health. Remarkable.
Our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues as the Badgers defeat Indiana tonight 76-64. Wisconsin 43% for the field, 41% from three, 12 of 29, 12 of 17 from the free throw line. A little below average, or considerably below average, actually, by the high standards for Wisconsin. Indiana 40% for the field, just 7 of 27 from the arc, 11 of 15 at the foul line. Rebounds ended up even. Wisconsin certainly more than held its own for the guts of the game. Badgers won their 26 field goals, had assists on half of them, and just 6 turnovers. Indiana 9 assists and 11 turnovers in the game. John Tanjay with 15 leads the way. Max Klesman with 13. Nolan Winter with 12. Carter Gilmore with 10. Kamari McGee with 9, going 3 out of 5 from the 3-point line. John Blackwell, 8 points, a like number of rebounds, 6 for Xavier Amos, and 3 for Stephen Crowell. Mackenzie Mbako with 15 to lead the way for the Hoosiers. Luke Goody with 11. Miles Rice with 10. 9 for Trey Galloway, 6 for Malik Renew. Just 4 points, 6 rebounds in 26 minutes for Umar Balo. Bryson Tucker ended up with 9 points, hitting a couple of threes, and he came in with just 1 in 17 attempts from the 3-point line, and that wraps up the scoring for Indiana. Wisconsin a winner, 76-64. One more break, back to wrap it up in 1 minute. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
Updating some scores, Northwestern takes down USC tonight, 77-75. Nick Martinelli with a jumper with 2 seconds left. And in the second half, about 4.5 minutes in, UCLA leads Michigan State 46-37. Badgers a winner tonight, protecting the home floor as Wisconsin takes down Indiana 76-64. And that'll do it for us. This broadcast is a copyrighted presentation of Badger Sports Properties, a property of Learfield under the broadcasting rights granted by the University of Wisconsin. Rebroadcast or reuse of this presentation is prohibited without the express written consent of the University of Wisconsin and Badger Sports Properties. The announcers are employed by the Badger Network with the approval of the University of Wisconsin. The general manager of Badger Sports Properties is Scott Silvestri. For Patrick Herb, our engineer Dave McCann, and Aisha Jackson back in our network studio, this is Matt LePay, hoping you'll join us on Saturday as the Badgers take on the Iowa Hawkeyes. Thanks for listening. This is the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Badger Basketball has been brought to you by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison and Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells. Proud casino partners of Wisconsin Athletics. And by Fabic Rents. For all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original Badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like Badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking Badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find.
I don't know, maybe this should be the new theme song for the Maggie Hahn Show. Because ready or not, I'll give you my best, my hardest take, my most truthful take, my most humble take every day right here on the Maggie Hahn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network from 2 to 4 p.m. Folks, we've been talking about the parade of horribles that Donald Trump has put in to action since becoming president of the United States. He's placing your family's well-being, your safety, the safety of this very nation at risk every day. And yet, though some may call it a coup, a slow-moving coup, lawlessness, chaos, this has always been the design of the Republican Party. Trump is just doing it as if there are no guardrails. He's getting it done according to the Heritage Foundation, the American Enterprise Institute, the Federalist Society. These have been the plans for decades. So what do we all do about it? Let me tell you a story about civil service. If you've been listening to the show, you know that I have spent more years in civil service, in service to each and every one of you as a public servant than I have in the private sector. And here is how I applied for and was selected for government service. I applied. My name was scrubbed from my application. It was first reviewed by people who had no hiring authority, but were reviewing my resume and application materials to meet the minimum criterion, licensure, experience, etc. After that initial screening, with still my name scrubbed from my application, it was then passed on to the departments that ultimately hired me. I was then given a civil service exam, which required me to demonstrate a high level of proficiency in the very tasks and duties that I would be required to do on a daily basis in these different jobs. After I passed that skills test, then the hiring folks within the departments that I was applying actually saw my resume with a name attached to it. And if their additional review resulted in an interview, I, along with every other candidate that got interviewed, we were all asked the same exact questions in the same exact order. Guess what I have just described to all of you? Now, it ain't a perfect meritocracy, but it is a gosh darn meritocracy, where people based upon experience, prior success, expertise in the particular job functions that they are seeking to be hired to fulfill are evaluated on those metrics. That is what the civil service is. Now, I then in turn eventually rose to an appointed position as the chief legal officer of Milwaukee County. Yes, that was a political appointment subject to confirmation by a legislature, but it gave me the opportunity to then be the hirer of people. And guess what we used? That same merit-based approach. Except I took it a step further. When I was passed resumes from people, I had anything that could identify them as an individual, their race or their gender scrubbed from their resume. So all I saw were their actual job qualifications. What the civil service is in the federal government, which was enshrined coming out of the Gilded Age and out of the corruption that resulted in the Great Depression, what it was a promise to all Americans that no matter if you're a mechanic's son, the daughter of a nurse, or the child of parents who are immigrants, that there will be a meritocracy in the civil service and government at the local, state, and federal level so that those that are incredibly qualified are the ones that serve the public. So the first thing to do here is to stand up for civil servants at the local, state, and federal level. Because that's what Donald Trump is attacking. In one side of his mouth, he talks about the meritocracy. And in the other side of his mouth, he's taking away the very things that have enshrined meritocratic hiring and promotion within the government that is supposed to serve every single one of you. So stand up for public servants and those in civil service. Thank them for their service. Call Congress and say, we expect you to continue to protect those in federal government civil service positions. The number for Congress, like there's actually just a number for Congress, is 202-224-3121. That is 202-224-3121. We're going to put that in the show notes for today. Call them. Say, we believe in public servants. We believe in the civil service. Leave those 5,000 FBI agents that stand the post every day, keeping me and you and your kids and your loved ones safe. Leave them alone. Secondly, be sure that you are registered to vote in this upcoming spring election, one of the most consequential here in the state of Wisconsin that we will see for the next few years. You can go to myvote.wi.gov. That's the second thing. The third thing is use the power of your speech. When you hear things that are racist and hateful, stand up for them, but do not put your personal safety at risk. It goes without saying. Pick up your pen, write a letter to the editor, defend public servants and the civil service. Our resistance to this long-standing and highly metastasized GOP agenda and this lawlessness, this dismantling of the middle class, this handing over the keys of our democracy to billionaire tech bros who weren't elected to squat, weren't appointed and confirmed by anybody. It is an everyday resistance. And you and I can do this together. We're going to do it together here every day from 2 to 4 p.m. on this, The Maggie Dawn Show. Folks, when we come back, I am so excited. We're going to be joined by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Susan Crawford. We're going to get to know Susan a little bit more. I'm going to ask her about some of the comments her opponent has said recently, because I think Brad Schimmel's the shill. It is Schimmel the shill. We discuss next with Dane County Circuit Court Judge and Supreme Court candidate Susan Crawford right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Ready or not, yeah. Here I come. You can't hide. Yo, nobody. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, yeah. Here I come.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu.
Via email, all direct hire staffers at the U.S. Agency for International Development were told they'll be placed on paid administrative leave starting Friday.
Sources tell ABC News that the State Department is now starting to evacuate all USAID staff who are on foreign assignments worldwide, some 1,500 to 2,000 people. The goal is to bring all those workers and their families back to the United States by this weekend.
ABC's Rachel Scott. The investigation of the deadly Washington, D.C. collision of a jetliner and an Army helicopter stands to pick up speed after the remains of all 67 people killed were recovered from the Potomac River. Investigators working up a detailed timeline of the disaster. A 77-23 vote in the Senate confirmed Doug Collins as Secretary of Veterans Affairs. He's an Iraq veteran and former congressman. The Senate voted 54-46 to approve the nomination of Pam Bondi as U.S. Attorney General. This is ABC News.
I am so sorry I was late. I was at the retina specialist getting my first AMD treatment. I was worried that the injection would hurt, but it was much better than I expected.
The Bucks lose in OKC. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks lost their fourth game in a row, this time in Oklahoma City against the Thunder. The final 125-96. Giannis, Damian Lillard, Brooke Lopez all sitting out with some injuries. That meant more playing time for backups like veteran Pat Connaughton.
I think for us tonight, we didn't do a great job of taking care of the basketball on offense, right? We didn't do a great job of keeping out of the lane on defense. You know, when you look back at the game that we played them in Las Vegas, we did a good job of making some of those twos hard.
College hoops, Marquette falls in the rankings to number 11 after losing to UConn at home over the weekend. They're at St. John tonight. The Badgers now ranked 21st. They host Indiana tonight at the Kohl Center. NFL, at the Super Bowl opening night, Chiefs running back Isaiah Pacheco asked what's his favorite song they play at Arrowhead Stadium.
This is how we do it. This is how we do it. Yeah.
That's the Chiefs' Isaiah Pacheco. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's one of Pete's picks. It's actually more like a half pick, as I sort of enjoyed the film Amelia Perez. The musical crime drama, yes, you heard that right, has 13 Oscar nominations, including for Best Picture. The story is about a ruthless drug cartel boss who hires a lawyer, played by Zoe Saldana, to help him through the gender transitioning process and to help him disappear afterwards. The logline really grabbed me, but I thought it started slow and didn't like the look of it. It did pick up steam and provided some gripping, intense moments. Ultimately, it's a little unsatisfying in my opinion, and I tend to agree with the reviews it received on Rotten Tomatoes. The film got a 73% fresh rating from critics, which is good, but a little lower than you'd expect for a film nominated for 13 Oscars. Only 18% of audiences like the film. Having said that, it still might be worth a watch, as you don't see many musical crime thrillers where cartel bosses have sex change operations. The film is free to view on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. No shortage of clouds overnight. Lows in the upper single digits. Our winds light. Snow will develop on Wednesday, especially in the afternoon. We'll see accumulation staying well under an inch, with afternoon highs in the upper 20s. Right now, it's 4.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll be joined by Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson to talk about immigration in the city before talking with Dr. Robert Craig about the latest threats to our democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
everybody. Welcome back if you're rejoining us. My name's Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, that you can have and find here every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m., where we are all about real news and great conversation. I'm about to have one of those great conversations with my next most fabulous guest. She is a current Dane County Circuit Court judge, a former prosecutor. She's now running for the state Supreme Court. It is early voting already, everybody, for the primaries. You can go early vote. And of course, the general election on which you will see her name, that is April 1st. Please ensure that you know that you are registered to vote, that you indeed have a plan to vote by going to myvote.wi.gov. And with that, a very warm welcome to Judge Susan Crawford. Thanks for making time, Judge. We really appreciate it.
Well, my pleasure to be here, Maggie. Thanks so much for having me.
I was really excited to see your column today in the Cap Times. You're introducing yourself to Wisconsin, telling them a little bit about your background. I am a native Wisconsinite myself, also a lawyer, longtime public servant. So it was really lovely to see your background. Tell everybody a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and about your family.
Yeah, well, thank you, Maggie. So I grew up in Chippewa Falls, the western part of the state. I was part of a family with four kids. My dad was an engineer with a degree from UW-Madison that he earned on the GI Bill after serving in Korea. My mom is a third-generation Wisconsinite from Greene County. And my great-grandpa started a barbershop on the square in Monroe, Wisconsin, back in the 1860s. So we've got some deep family roots in Wisconsin. And I'm now married. I've been married for about 25 years. I have two kids who are now young adults who I'm very proud of that I raised right here in Wisconsin. And I'm running for the Supreme Court because I have really spent my whole career working to enforce our laws and protect people's rights under our Constitution. And I think I have a great experience for the role and want to be a fair, impartial justice on our Supreme Court.
So Judge Crawford, every single candidate for the Supreme Court says these things. How can people tell the difference between candidates if they're saying those same sorts of things?
You know, I think that's a fair question, Maggie. And in this particular race, I think that the difference is pretty stark between myself and my opponent, Brad Schimmel. He has had a career as a partisan politician, has a career of working to take rights away from people, has pursued a really extreme agenda as a partisan politician, and is running this race very much as if it were a partisan race, saying what positions he takes on cases that are currently pending before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, prejudging those cases, that's prejudicial to the parties in those cases. It's not proper for judges to comment on pending cases like that, but he's doing it because he wants people, I guess, to know what his agenda is. And, you know, he has often worked to take rights away from people, including things like reproductive health care rights. I, on the other hand, have never held partisan office. I've never been involved in partisan politics. And, you know, as I said, I've worked hard throughout my career to protect the rights of Wisconsinites under our laws and Constitution. And that's what I want to do on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
It's interesting to me, right, that most as we look at the past Supreme Court races in this state, we've seen more and more money coming in, and they have appeared, I think, to every regular person in the state of Wisconsin as increasingly partisan. Unfortunately, my opinion is that I think the manner in which some of the decisions being rendered by the Supreme Court, even the manner in which they're written, have started to reflect this additional partisanship. How do you, Judge Crawford, propose to fight against that trend, to really push back on our judicial system, on our legal system, for the system that we have, imperfect though it may be, of deciding disputes between party, deciding and articulating the rights of people, to step it back from that partisan ledge? How will you approach cases And what has your philosophy been as a lawyer and as a judge and as you propose to be as a Supreme Court justice to help pull us back from the abyss that we seem to be on the precipice of?
Yeah, I think that's an important question. And my approach as a judge is to it's pretty common sense, I would say. First of all, I work to get the facts right. So you have to listen to the evidence and evaluate what are the true facts of the case. I think the truth is a really important and unfortunately kind of overlooked quality in our politics. It's not overlooked in our justice system, or it shouldn't be. So finding out what the truth is, and then figuring out how the law should be applied to those facts after listening to the attorneys make their arguments. Often they have different interpretations of how the law should be applied. And then making a common sense judgment that protects people as the law was intended, to make sure that the law is being used or our Constitution is being used to protect the people in front of me. And I never lose sight of the fact that every case in front of me involves real people. And it's really important for a judge to put that first and foremost. The decisions I make are not abstract principles. Mm. They are decisions that are going to affect real people's lives. And that's what I'll do on the Wisconsin Supreme Court as well. And there's kind of an additional layer to that on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, because Supreme Court decisions establish precedent that applies throughout all of the courts in the state, all the state courts. And so as a justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, I will also consider how the court's decisions are going to be applied in those future cases and how they will affect real people's lives in future cases. So that's my approach. I think it's really a matter of common sense and a way to make sure that we're using our laws to protect people. That's what they're for.
Folks, I'm joined by Judge Susan Crawford, current Dane County Circuit Court judge, candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. You will find her on your ballot on April 1st. Be sure that you are registered and ready to vote by going to myvote.wi.gov. Judge Crawford, I was the chief legal officer of the Corporation Counsel for Milwaukee County for many years. I now do a very political talk radio show. When I took my job from Milwaukee County, I came to that job as a human being with my own set of personal beliefs and frankly, political preferences. And one of the tasks that I had, one of the duties that I had, was to the best of my ability, with an incredible amount of humility, to try to check those beliefs, check my political preferences at the door, and to follow and exercise my judgments and my obligations in that office in a nonpartisan, objective way. How do you propose even writ large, talking very generally to judges, how do you manage your personal beliefs and your personal political preferences when you put on that robe and you're called to really rise above that? How do you actually do that? Because it's a bit of a trick. We're all human beings.
Right. Well, you know, I've been a judge now for about 6.5 years. And as you make from being a lawyer to being a judge, that's something that you learn how to do very quickly. As a lawyer, you are always an advocate. You're fighting for a cause for your client in the courtroom. So, you know, in my case, I fought for public school teachers when the government was taking away their rights in the workplace. I was fighting for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin and their doctors when the government was trying to get between women and their doctors. And those, you know, those were some cases with some political ramifications to them, in that they arose out of legislation that was controversial and, divided people. So as a judge, I apply the law. And I make decisions every day that I really strive to be unbiased and impartial, and to look at what the purposes are of the law. In my view, the law is a tool to resolve disputes and to protect people's rights. And that's how I view it. So I've had a lot of practice now as a judge, in maintaining impartiality and making fair decisions. And that's why it is, you know, so really disappointing to me and upsetting to me to see my opponent running his campaign for the Wisconsin Supreme Court as if it was a partisan campaign, taking positions on pending issues like that 1849 law before that's now pending before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He says it should be upheld as a criminal ban on all abortions in our state. He's been saying that on the campaign trail. And that, because it's a case that's pending in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, he shouldn't be doing that. It's prejudicial to the parties in that case. It shows his bias, and you won't hear me doing that.
If I can, Judge, and again, with great respect to your service and to your intention to approach cases impartially, you noted in your last response that you, in the past, have been a lawyer for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Given that, how can Wisconsin voters be assured that, again, you will approach the cases challenging that 1849 law, requiring you to address reproductive freedoms in an impartial way, given that you have represented as an attorney an organization that advocates for reproductive freedoms?
Right. Well, I think it's important for voters to know what my experience is, what I have worked on throughout my career, for them to know that I have stood up in the courtroom and fought for the rights of people whose rights were being taken away from them by the government. My opponent's never done that. And in fact, he has, signed onto lawsuits when he was the Republican Attorney General during Scott Walker's administration to try to overturn the Affordable Care Act and take health insurance away from thousands of Wisconsinites. So I think voters deserve to know what our histories are and what we've worked for throughout our careers, and to make their choices based on who they think is going to be a fair justice on the Supreme Court.
I'd like to play for you very briefly a bit of sound. This is your opponent talking about his fundraising activities.
Yeah.
She got in the race 3 weeks before that deadline was up, raised $460,000 in 3 weeks. You can't do that. The way I'm doing it is by calling and begging people, cajoling, buying, you know, stopping at Menards for a new set of knee pads every couple days. That's how I have to raise the money. Their money's just going to flow in.
This is your opponent explicitly stating that he is on the phone soliciting funds. Your response to that, Judge Crawford?
Well, I think you probably know, Maggie, that the judicial rules prohibit candidates for judicial office, including candidates for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, from asking people for financial contributions to their campaign. And I strictly follow that rule. It sounds to me like Brad Schimmel is not following that rule, and it's disappointing to hear.
It's stunning to me. This is my own commentary, not the judge's, that someone that is trying to be one of the individuals in this state charged with interpreting and enforcing the law himself finds maybe I'll follow those laws, those rules and ethical regulations for judges and judicial candidates with such disdain. Very briefly, Judge Crawford, let's end on a bit of a lighter note. It is so very serious on the campaign trail. People are getting to know you and your family. Tell us all something that we might be a little surprised to hear that Judge Susan Crawford is all about. A surprising fact about you, if you've got one, Judge.
Oh, gosh, Meg, you're putting me on the spot. I will put my chocolate chip cookies up against anybody else in the state. I am a damn good cookie baker, and that's what I'll give you.
I love it. We're going to be eating Judge Crawford's chocolate chip cookies next time. Maybe I'll give you a few of my macadamia nut ones, and we'll have a little cookie off next time. Hope to have you back soon. Folks, that is Judge Susan Crawford, candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, current Dane County Circuit Court. My thanks to you, Susan, for your time this afternoon. Can't wait to have you back. When we come back, I'm going to give you some closing thoughts for the day. Maybe I'll go down a wee bit of a cookie rabbit hole with each and every one of you. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
Resentment. Unresolved hurt and anger is a disease that kills more people each year than cancer. The cure is forgiveness. If you're carrying a heavy load of hurt and anger, forgiveness is the key to healing your head and your heart. UW-Madison professor and founder of the International Forgiveness Institute, Dr. Bob Enright, invites you to visit his website. Learn why to forgive and how to forgive. Learn about the peacemaking power of putting forgiveness inside of you. Visit internationalforgiveness.com.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts, discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This ain't Texas. No, it's Wisconsin. No, it's politics. But I'll put my cards out in the open, play open-handed with each and every one of you every day from 2 to 4 p.m. right here across the Civic Media Radio Network. You're going to want to keep it locked. My little buddy and yours, Dom Salvia, is coming up next after me. He's got that great show from 4 to 6 p.m. again across the Civic Media Radio Network. You might even find me on there for the first half hour of his show. A little overtime with Maggie Dawn joining Dom today. I think we might be talking about Schimmel the Show. I think that might come up, Calvin. I think I have a hint, an inkling, if you will. My thanks to Judge Susan Crawford from Dane County for joining me. We hope to have a continuing great conversation with the judge over the course of this election, an absolutely monumental one for Wisconsin, for your rights, for mine, for judicial independence, you know, for judges not being a shill when they're out on the campaign trail. What can I say? I don't like it when judges walk around with hat in hands asking for money. It might, you know, have the aroma, the musk, if you will, of corruption. Seems to be a theme these days. I want to give a special thanks to all of the incredible texters. I have got a new partner with my show. Her name's Jamie. She is helping me keep track of all of your incredible feedback. We are taking your questions. We are taking your comments. We will get to them. I will address them, especially your questions. We're going to do that on Friday in a new segment called Ask Maggie. That's going to be 3 o'clock every Friday. If you submit a question on the text line, Jamie and I are going to grab it. We're going to put it in the old Ask Maggie hopper. And on Friday, I'm going to have 90 seconds to give my best shot at your question. And that's all the time I get. Y'all know I can talk. This is going to put some bumpers, as in bumper bowling, around my, you know, my little verboseness that comes up from time to time. I cannot wait to do that. And tomorrow, everybody, I hope you enjoy these segments as much as I do. We close every Wednesday's show with a little segment called Over the Hump and Trump. It is us taking a break together, talk about some things that aren't overtly political, how we can all cope, maintain our joy, having joy, being together, finding connection in these times where we are being told in so many ways to separate ourselves from one another. That is how we resist. That is going to be tomorrow at 3:30, Over the Hump and Trump, coming to you every Wednesday at 3:30. Tomorrow, I'm going to kick off the show. You're not going to want to miss this. I'm going to kick off the show with part of how we maintain our energy through the fire hose that is the Donald Trump administration. Because it's hard. I myself get worn out. And I'm going to share with you some of the things that I'm using to find my energy, to find my perseverance, my resilience in these times. I hope you join me for that segment. We've also got State Senator Melissa Radcliffe from Senate District 16. And she is super pumped to talk with me, jazzed, as Governor Evers would say, jazzed to talk to me about the upcoming Super Bowl. I can't wait to hear what the senator might be cooking up for her Super Bowl festivities. I might share a few of my favorite recipes. And speaking of recipes, especially since Susan Crawford dropped that her favorite thing is her award-winning, or at least maybe in her own mind, award-winning chocolate chip cookie recipe. I got to tell y'all, we're going to end with this today. A little story about me making cookies. Because I have some of the best cookie recipes, I think, in the state of Wisconsin. How do I know this? Because they're all butter and sugar, right? I mean, that's it. I also know this because they are old, old, old recipes. I have some from my 90-year-old neighbor that I grew up with as one of my babysitters. Her name was Ann Luddington. Amazing lady, written on those little like 2x4 cards in her shaky 90-year-old script. Her recipe, Ann Luddington, props to you. Amazing cookie recipes. Also for my great, great grandmother, my great aunt. Anywho, when I was living in New York City way back in the day, I love to have people over. I love celebrating. I call it the Last Supper theory. You don't need to believe in Jesus Christ, but at least it was a really good story about this guy that had a lot of people over him when he knew he was going to kick the bucket. What did he do? He had all of his friends over for a big dinner. They broke bread. They shared some drinks. I love entertaining. So when I lived in New York, every year I'd have this big holiday party. All these people would come through. And every year it got bigger and bigger. And one of the main reasons why is because I would make these very German, very Wisconsin, very old school cookie recipes filled with butter and sugar. Would it surprise you to know that New Yorkers don't really eat a lot of butter and sugar? A little more particular about this. Anyways, I would make somewhere north of about 1,400 cookies. Think all of these batches times three or four. And it was like a swarm of freaking locusts had come through my place. There was never a single cookie left on the deck. Everybody ate all of them up. Even made little cookie bags for all my friends that I met in New York. Every once in a while, I'll get a text around the holidays from one of my buddies back in the day saying, hey, can you send me some of those cookies or at least the recipe? Now, the fun thing, if you are a recipe maker of the old school recipe variety, there's always some ingredient, some technique that is not on the recipe card that you just have to know because you've watched your mom or your grandma or your 90-year-old neighbor Ann make the recipe that you just pick up by osmosis. I send them the recipes, but they don't have all of the secret ingredients, if you know what I'm saying. But I always loved that and remember those times fondly in New York City. But we got the best cookies right here in Wisconsin. Folks, that's going to do it for me today. Going to be a little overtime with me and Dom Salvia, who's got the fantastic program coming up next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to talk a little bit about Shibble the Shill, so you're going to want to keep it locked. My name's Maggie Dwan. Thanks so much for listening this afternoon. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together.
Take it to the flow now. Ooh. To the flow now. Ooh. 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 Shoot. Come take it to the flow now. Ooh. And I'll be damned if I cannot.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Maggie Dawn.
Hey, did you know politicians think about what they're going to make for their Super Bowl parties just like we do? Tomorrow at 3 o'clock, I'm joined by State Senator Melissa Radcliffe. We talk Super Bowl and some politics. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The expanding buyout. A spokesman for the CIA says newly installed director John Ratcliffe wanted to ensure his workforce at the spy agency was responsive to the Trump administration, so certain CIA staffers will be offered buyouts. President Trump's policy on transgender offenders stopped in its tracks.
A federal judge on Tuesday night blocked the Trump administration from enforcing an executive order that would require housing transgender women in male prisons, determining that the policy likely violated the Eighth Amendment's prohibition on cruel and unusual punishment. U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth, who was nominated to the bench by Ronald Reagan, granted a temporary restraining order that blocks enforcement of the executive order.
ABC's Peter Haralambos. With no explanation, the U.S. Postal Service announced a temporary suspension of acceptance of inbound packages from China and Hong Kong. Letters or flats from Hong Kong and China will continue to be accepted. This is ABC News.